everybody. Welcome. Welcome to our last show of 2013, huh? I'm Pete. Today we've got a very special show filled with content, filled to the brims, which is the tops. We've got a bunch of things that happened in 2013. We're going to do kind of a year in review of what happened. What happened in 2013? Do you even fucking remember? I don't remember most of it, but I'm sure it was terrible. But let's make sure, huh? Let's make sure it was as terrible as I remember as we move forward into 2014. Well, welcome back. It's been quite a year for us here, hasn't it? Year of big success. All the money came in. So that's always an exciting moment, right? When we start getting rich off of this shit. So thanks all of you for your generous donations to this show. Remember that money you gave me? It helped a lot. So today we've got some big lists. You know, from Time Magazine, from like the fucking Baseball Hall of Fame or something like that. All kinds of good stuff. So, where to begin? Where to begin? I also have a personal list that I've been working on as well. There were some we were going to talk about. You know, I went and saw, there's a top 10 movies list. So I pulled that up and of course found I had seen between 0 and 1 on most of the movies lists. The one movie that I saw this year that was on there was American Hustle. And they did not, the escape plan did not make any of the top 10 movie lists this year. So immediately it's like, well, this is flawed. I don't see one Stallone on any of these lists. So how seriously am I supposed to take this? However, I did see American Hustle. I don't understand movies. You know, this is, let's do this. Pete becomes an old man immediately. I get that people liked American Hustle, but I don't really know why. Because basically, well, first of all, you sit in the movie theater. It was crowded, which was fine. But, you know, we watched probably 40 minutes of previews for other movies that were already out, that were playing in theaters next door to us. So I guess, I don't know, in the movie how long it's out, but they don't advertise other movies that are not out yet, or they don't change the previews. They're like, fuck it. I mean, when Titanic was in the theater for like 8 months, were they just playing previews for movies that had already come and gone? Hey, Titanic's here, but how about Lost in Space? That's going to be on VHS in a couple months, so keep that fresh in your memory, huh? Well, and enjoy Titanic. So that was a complete waste of time, by the way. You know, you're sitting there and I'm thinking, well, either we already saw that if I'm a moviegoer, or I'm gonna, you know, I chose this movie over that movie. What, you know, it's like if you went to a restaurant and you said, I will have the steak. And then they said, all right, very good choice. And then throughout while you're waiting for the steak to arrive, they're like, well, here's the surf and turf, just so you know what you're missing out on there. And here's our fresh salmon. And we also went to a dinner before this. You know, leave it to me to complain about a nice dinner, but what's going on with, like, you go to the restaurant and the guy who's working there has to give us this whole fucking backstory for the, you know, they had a salmon. He was like, well, if you don't like steaks, because this is a steakhouse, by the way. I mean, I don't know why you would go to a steakhouse if you don't like steak. If you just like that weird atmosphere of a restaurant that's been the exact same since the 1940s, I guess. You like to watch an old man come in the door and take off a jacket he's had since the 60s. That's a perfectly good coat. Why would I get a new coat? This is the good one. But he's like, if you don't like steak, I recommend the salmon. And here's how the salmon works. We cook it on a plank of wood. The guy who runs this restaurant knows a bourbon maker in Kentucky, and they age the bourbon in barrels. And then once they're done with the barrels, this guy breaks them up and sends us the wood plank. So then it's cooked on the wood plank. And it's just like, okay, I don't really need to know the whole, you know, go to McDonald's or Wendy's. I don't need to hear like, oh, well, we have this beef that's, you know, we abuse the animals like crazy. This is one thing that I would like to see a restaurant try. Okay. Extra cruelty beef. What if someone came up with like a steak and it was extra cruelty and it was delicious? Everyone said, I gotta be honest, I'm an animals guy. Okay. I don't like to abuse animals, but some kind of the fear hormones that are released really make the beef delicious. And you could pay, it would be a nice thing because, you know, if you're like one of these evil senators or something like that, and you could go and you could buy the extra cruelty steak, I think that would really make you seem, that would really complete the look. Or in a movie when they wanted to show, oh, this guy's the evil CEO. He's the Wolf of Wall Street by now. He's like, I'll take the extra cruelty steak. You know, do you have an extra cruel? Oh, yes, sir. We have this one was beaten daily in front of its parents, you know, which humiliates an extra. I don't even know. I don't know if that works on animals or not. But the point was, you know, this guy's telling us the life story of this. And I don't blame him. I blame sort of amateur foodies. I mean, I like food. I like to eat delicious food. But, you know, and I like to make food for myself. But I'm not really interested in hearing like, oh, well, they're good friends from high school because the owner of this restaurant grew up in Kentucky and that's how he gets wood for these barrels. Okay, great. I mean, couldn't you just throw a bunch of old fucking firewood in a tank of bourbon? Wouldn't that just do the same thing? I don't know. I don't really care. You know, you don't have to tell me the pots and pans you're using. I don't care that far. Okay? Also, you know, they were talking about the beef and he says, oh, it comes, you know, it was slaughtered the day before, and 45% of our beef is grade A or better, which is a weird statistic to share because I'm like, okay, so less than half. So am I rolling the dice? Can I have one of the good ones then? How do I, do you know which one's the good one? I mean, which cows are the, you know, so you're saying like, hey, if you come to this restaurant, you've got almost half a chance of getting a very high quality piece of meat. Wow. Thank you for doing me this incredible favor, fucker. Why wouldn't you? Here's what you need to do, okay? Restaurant owner, bump that up to 55%, and then you can say, most of our beef is better than this quality, all right? And also, when you don't say all, it really kills the mood, okay? You know, I'm a prostitute, a male prostitute. Most of the people I sleep with, well, okay, slightly less than half the people, no, slightly more than half the people, more of the people I sleep with get herpes than don't, but only by a little bit. I mean, that's not a very good odds, I don't think. 50-50 isn't good, and this is less than 50-50. You know, he's got this whole, I don't know, I just don't need... I wish there was some kind of indication you could give. Like if there was some kind of secret code or a thing on the table. I don't want to be an asshole. I don't mind a waiter who's like chatty and that kind of stuff. But, and it was fine because I'm there with my family, right? But when you're, let's say you're on a date, right? You go on a date, you're at the fucking steak place. The guy's telling you all this stuff. Or you know where, here's a famous one. Ever been to this melting pot? You know, you have all these fondue things going on. And over, you know, the guy's explaining everything and he's kind of cooking at the table a little bit. And it's like, hey, buddy, I wanted to go on a date with this nice lady. You seem like a great guy and everything, but we're not at fondue date level yet. So if you could excuse yourself from the date as much as possible. I understand that you're like a real guy. I'm not trying to be an asshole here, but you're at work, right? I mean, could you just leave us alone a little bit? That would be great. I don't know. I feel almost like sometimes people are a little needy or something. They're excited. They learned all this stuff about where wood comes from, and they are fucking excited to tell you about it. Anyway, I drank half a glass of red wine as well, which is a big breakthrough for me. Because we all know how good I am at wine. So I did that, you know. But every time I drink wine, you know, I make the face of if you fed a toddler bourbon. You know, it's just, ooh, God, that's so strong. You know what I mean? Or you go out and have a drink with that one coworker who's kind of a square, which I guess is me because I call them a square. Oh, man, what a square. What an L7. Go out with them, you know, and they take one drink of a margarita and they're like, oh, God. Oof. Oof. You're just like, oh, yeah, so it's your first time then having a drink. That's the phase I do every time I take a sip of wine, though. You know, and the guy, we got a bottle of wine, because if you order two entrees, you get a bottle of wine. And there were three of us, so, you know, I wanted to do my part. And so I drank half of a glass, by which I mean half a glass, I guess, because for whatever reason, a wine glass is designed to be twice as large as the area needed. You know, you get a wine glass, you fill it up halfway. People aren't doing this at home, right? I mean, if you have a glass of wine at home, you don't fill it to, I don't know, half, maybe even a little less. Why would you do that? You'd have to make 800 trips to the kitchen in order to kill off a bottle of wine. It'd be like if I drank a beer and I poured it into a glass for God knows why. You know, who am I? Hey, I'm Peter Rockefeller here. I pour my beer in a glass. You know, I'm doing that, though. And instead of filling the glass, I'll do half in the glass. Then I'll leave this beer can in a completely other room and then come back. This is part of my whole problem with wine, though. I think there's a lot of process here. It's a lot of, like, you know, oh, okay. Well, let's get this whole fucking tool that opens it. Let's do another separate tool to do something else. You know, it's we got to make this crazy gravity-defying holder-upper for the wine because you can't just do it. All that stuff. So we go to the movie. A million hours of previews somewhere around there. I was talking to the lady who was, you know, she gave us popcorn and whatnot. And she's like, what are you seeing? I said, American Hustle. And she said, oh, it's great. It's really good, you know. She's like, I like that. And I like Wolf of Wall Street. And I don't know much about Wolf of Wall Street, but it seems that people are criticizing it for glorifying some guy who is doing something vaguely criminal. Which, I don't know. Go fuck yourself. I mean, every movie is someone vaguely criminal, right? I don't, you know. Oh, yeah, that taxi driver glorifies the life of a crazy taxi driver. You know, blowing a guy's hand off. But, you know, she said, oh, yeah, American Hustle is very good. And Wolf of Wall Street's really good. She did say, you know, it's more adult. You know, it still is weird, I have to say. It gets less weird every year. And it's much less weird, by the way, in the movie theater than in the living room. But when you're sitting there with your mom and you're watching Amy Adams half nude the entire movie, you're just like, this would be more enjoyable. It's not really as enjoyable when you're sitting next to your mom. You know, imagine if you had to see, you know, it would be a hard choice if someone said, okay, you could watch this American Hustle as is alone, or you could watch this alternate universe version. Only you see it, and Amy Adams is actually fully naked the entire time. However, you have to watch it while sitting next to your mom. I'd probably pick the watch it by myself original version. Maybe not. But who knows? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Anyway, I don't know. It wasn't an exciting movie for me, I gotta say. I was kind of bored. The one thing, too, I want to say, every movie does this, okay? Every special movie, they got to have a fucking dance sequence of some kind. Whether it's a ballroom dance or they're fancy dancing. And it doesn't matter if it's a comedy. You know, you watch Get Smart. They have this ballroom dance thing where they prove that Steve Carell's a good guy because he danced with this fat lady. or if it's James Bond, where you're like, oh my God, this is so sensual, they're dancing. Or if it's American Hustle, where you're like, Bradley Cooper has curly hair and is out of control based on what's happening at this dance party. I mean, can't you just show, is there no other way to express what's happening in the story besides a dance party? You know what I mean? And it's very, I don't know, it's pretty lazy. You got to play a song. It's like, oh, this is a song from that period. Well, now I get it. Anyway, I don't know. I would say go ahead and skip American Hustle. Christian Bale is fun to watch, though, like always. So anyway, let's get to our countdown, our top moments of 2013. So here's one from Time Magazine. The most heartwarming stories of 2013. So basically, I'm just going to start off being an ass immediately. Number 10. I feel like we need some kind of countdown music, right? I don't even know how to look that up. Top 10 countdown music. Countdown music. Let me just type that in and see what happens. Oh, well, that makes that easy. What the fuck is this? All right, well, there you go. This is our countdown music now. Coming in, number 10, most heartwarming moments of 2013. We have football kids. What does this say? Middle school football team plans secret play for special needs teammate. The football players at some fucking school went behind their coach's back to devise a secret play that would allow Keith Orr, a teammate with behavioral and learning disabilities, to score his first touchdown and enjoy the spotlight. Behavioral and learning disabilities, what does that mean? Keith Orr, is that the name of the guy from The Blind Side? I can't even tell. Well, I froze my computer trying to watch the video. Guys, we need a new computer at this studio very badly. I disconnect from the internet frequently. It does great as long as I don't click on stuff. Then it works pretty good. But then if I do click on stuff, it tends to struggle. So I guess a bunch of middle schoolers had a handicapped kid on the football team. And I like how it's they went behind the coach's back. So what kind of asshole this coach is like, this is middle school football, okay? We're not going to give the ball to a retarded kid. Can you imagine what would happen? Can you even imagine? I think we're seeing a commercial, but I can't tell. It's also frozen. This is the worst year, computer-wise, that I've ever had. Well, it's not true, but I've had some pretty bad ones. I mean, there's no sound on this video, and it seems to be traveling through time wildly. Well, this is another failure. Okay. So they had a handicapped kid score a touchdown. That's great. You know, when I was in high school, there was like a guy with Down syndrome who really wanted to play football. You know, Gabe Lane. And it was this big story because I think he was like 21 or something like that. Because I don't really know. As insensitive as this sounds, I don't really know how they decide when handicapped kids are done in high school. At this dinner, we were talking about handicapped kids. Because I was saying something like, I was asking my mom, because she worked with handicapped kids before, and I was like, if you have a one-year-old, how is a one-year-old and a handicapped one-year-old, are they real different? Because they're not doing a lot. Right? I mean, they're just maybe starting to walk, but it's not. So anyway, she was saying, you know, the handicapped kids, you know, and then I was saying how when I was a kid, I had this horrible thought of, what if I'm severely handicapped, but I don't know because I'm so handicapped that I'm not capable of being aware that I'm handicapped. And everyone's just like, shut the fuck up. Be nice. He's handicapped. Be nice, you know, leave him, just pretend he's normal. Because we were supposed to, I think, you know, I don't know. I don't remember a teacher saying, pretend the handicapped kids are normal. But you couldn't go and be like, so, you are handicapped. You know, what is that like? What is your vision like right now? You know, do you see things the same as me? What color is this? You know, I don't know. I know almost nothing about being handicapped. So, anyway, we were talking about that. And then I was saying how, I guess, you know, my mom said, well, you figure it out like in fourth or fifth grade at the latest, because at that point you realize the stuff you're doing is very different. And then I said, yeah, I guess when you're in high school and you're picking up the recycling bins from the other classrooms and like taking out the trash, that you probably know. And then I thought, you know what they should do? They should have some non-handicapped kids come pick up the trash in the handicapped kid classroom. Because then maybe the handicapped kids think like, oh, okay, everybody's doing it. We're picking up their trash. They're picking up our trash. You know, I don't know. I'm probably too handicapped to really put it together. Like, why don't we just all do our own trash? Which would be fine, by the way. But, you know, so you have like the homecoming king has to do it. Because why not? You know, as homecoming king, you're supposed to hold up some kind of values, right? Do something. I mean, when you're Miss America, you have to do all kinds of shit. You don't just like, oh, well, now I'm Miss America and, you know, good, done. By the way, could someone just popular already run for Miss America? Like Roseanne? I would vote for Roseanne. Why not? She's more like America than most of these, you know, dum-dums. Anyway, so the handicapped kid got to play like 4 minutes of football, high school football. You know, it's so important. It's so, I don't know why, I mean, I understand why other kids, you know, when I was in high school track, I guess I thought it was important, and it was important to me, and I worked hard, but looking back on it, you know, if I was a coach today, I think you have to have a little more perspective, right, to look at it and say, guys, it'll mean the world to this handicapped kid to play football for 4 minutes. And when you look back on this, you're going to feel like a real asshole. When I was in cross country, actually, my main competition for the first year was a handicapped kid. He was much better at running than I was, but no kidding, often would get a little lost on the course. So sometimes he would actually wait for me, and then I would point him in the right direction. So if he stayed on track, he would have annihilated me every time. And it was a big moment at the end of the season. I don't know, a couple races before the end of the season, I did triumph over the handicapped kid, which is a very hollow victory, except for he was more fit than I was. It was very physically difficult for me to beat the handicapped kid. So there you go. That tells you, I think that says a lot more about where I was at fitness-wise than where he was at mentally. You know, that he was far and away a better runner than I was. Okay. Number 9, Jennifer Lawrence wins Oscar for Best Actress, apparently. Not only did she win over millions of Americans with her quirky personality and lead role in The Hunger Games, she also managed to snag an Oscar for Best Actress for her role in Silver Linings Playbook, adding to a long list of reasons why we all love her so much. I don't understand. I feel like we have decided that Jennifer Lawrence is some kind of alternative woman. You know, like, I don't like these trampy Kardashians or these run-of-the-mill Scarlett Johansons. That's who everyone likes. I like Jennifer Lawrence. Oh, really? You like a young, blonde actress with a nice body? Wow. What a... That's who you're attracted to? You are different. You're very special. I mean, come on. Again, if someone said to me, I find Roseanne extremely attractive, that's a topic of discussion. That's an, okay, I have questions for you. I don't necessarily agree with you, but this is interesting to me. This is something we could talk about. I don't know. That's not exciting, right? Let's see. 8, woman finds a dog in an Oklahoma tornado rubble during a live interview. Well, that's pretty awesome. I'm going to try and play it against my better judgment. Yep, there we go. Froze this again. Maybe it's this website. Oh, there we go. When an Oklahoma woman was interviewed while standing in the post-tornado rubble that used to be her home, an emotional moment is captured as she discovers one of her most precious possessions, her dog. News writers are really bad. I mean, I just read the headline that she found her dog. You're not surprising me with this. Found one of her most precious possessions. And I go, oh, what's it going to be? A photo album? Her automobile? Oh my God, it's her dog. Yeah, you ruined it. Also, there's a sponsor message. There's a 13-second sponsor message before 1 minute of video. Some idiot kid riding a tricycle. Fuck this shit. There's no sound again, which is, you know, don't they know I'm trying to do a podcast here? Dairy Queen number 7. Dairy Queen worker repays blind man. Right, someone else is wrong. This Dairy Queen employee's act of kindness went viral after he went out of his way to repay a blind man for money that was taken by someone else. What kind of asshole? I mean, that's like the lowest of the low. You know what I mean? Oh, hey, blind guy. Well, I mean, do you think that the guy stole the money? Or do you think that he was just like, well, you're pretty much blind, so I'm going to knock you over and take your money, or you could just give it to me. If you just decided that you were fine with robbing blind people, I think you could do pretty well. For the simple reason that, you know, I think the main thing stopping people from stealing from the blind is just that you're like, Jesus Christ, hasn't enough been taken from them? I mean, I don't know. I have, you know, fairly open beliefs. I guess I just feel like if you're in a wheelchair or you're blind or something like that, I think you could probably just not work if you didn't want to. I'm fine with those people just being handed money, honestly. If you're blind, I mean, that's horrible. That would be the worst. Let's see, number 6, newborn cured of HIV. What? Scientists led by Dr. Deborah Persaud of Johns Hopkins University said they functionally cured a newborn of HIV after it had been infected by its mother, which makes us wonder, is the end of AIDS near? Well, that would be nice, huh? I mean, that really, I think they should probably be working on curing that AIDS, right? That's a bad one. And that's the worst of, it's 100 times worse than the other sexually transmitted diseases, isn't it? I mean, what's the next worst one? Hepatitis? Which, so you can give vaccines. I mean, so that, you know, once that's gone, the next worst thing is like herpes. And that's not that bad. You know, that's like, I get blisters. Fuck it. Who cares? You know how else you can get blisters? When you're fucking on the carpet too long. Give me a break. Yeah, let's get on that so we can get to, let's get down to having sex. Let's save the lives, and then we can also get back down to having sex. I approve. I know that's necessary. Number 5, man survived 60 hours underwater in the Atlantic Ocean. A Nigerian man was able to survive for 60 hours at the bottom of the Atlantic by breathing oxygen from an air pocket before he was rescued by South African rescue divers. Someone told me about this. I don't like this story. Here's why. You know, so this boat, I guess, capsized, and he was kind of in a room that was had an air pocket at the top or something like that. Everyone else on the boat is dead. You know, he's in there for 60 fucking hours. No idea if he's going to be rescued in any fashion. They just happened to rescue him. You know, I don't know. I guess they were searching the boat and they found him and shit. Pitch dark. Water, he's up to his, you know, his head in water pretty much. And, you know, he's saying that he hears like the fish and stuff eating the bodies, the corpses of everybody else and all that stuff. And the smell was unbelievable. And how would you ever sleep again? I mean, every time you close your eyes, wouldn't you be back on this fucking boat? Just die again. This is the guy again. Something like that happens. I would like to, if I was rich, I would like to start a grant just to be like, well, you know, I don't know. I mean, it seems unfair that that guy should have to go back to work to me, doesn't it? Shouldn't it be like, well, you've pretty much experienced the worst thing of the year. Pete's worst thing of the year grant. Congratulations. You had the worst thing happen to you. Your story is more horrible. You know, you have like the 100 and whatever, 127 hours guy. You're like, yep, well, okay, we're satisfied. No need to write that book. So we can experience the horror with you or sign it over for the movie. We will just provide for you to go ahead and just continue living. Okay. Now you can work if you choose, if that helps you. But for the most part, we all acknowledge. Can you imagine being, you know, you work at Target. New guy starts and he's like, hey, man, you know, welcome on. And here's how we refresh the display of Glade plugins. That's what I did when I worked at Target for like 2 weeks. Had to restock, had to FIFO the Glade plugins and the dryer sheets and shit. It was horrible. Horrible. People are fucking animals, by the way. How many Glade plugins do you have to pick up before you just pick one? Pick it up, smell it, and if it's not the right one, you could put it back where it goes. Why do the, or just put it on top, you know, just lay it flat. Why would you put it, why would you do the effort of putting it back in this crazy sliding contraption and put it in the wrong one? Anyway, so you're complaining about all this shit. You're like, yeah, I don't know, it's not the worst job ever, but it pretty sucks. And you're like, so what's your story? Where'd you come from? He's like, oh, I spent 60 hours trapped in a capsized boat and thought I was going to die. Okay. Well, lunch is at 4. Let's see. Homeless man returns sack full of money. It's a Good Samaritan story with two parts. A Boston homeless man first made headlines when he returned a backpack filled with more than $40,000. His kind act, which went viral, was rewarded by a total stranger who heard this story and raised $50,000 for the man through an online campaign. Well, that's pretty cool, I guess. I don't know. I wonder why he returned it. He's just like, well, it's not mine. Why was there a backpack of $40,000? That's gotta be a drug deal, right? That's gotta be something horrible. If I was homeless, I would definitely think about it for a couple days, get myself a hotel room and think about it, and probably justify it by saying, well, this has gotta be illegal money, right? This cannot possibly... No, when have you ever had... What's the most cash you've ever had? One time I went to the bank when I bought a motorcycle... And I had, I think, $1,200 in cash. That's the most cash I've ever had in my life. And it's a lot. It is a lot. Number 3, Prince George is born. I don't give a shit. 2, Pope Francis kisses a disfigured man. Oof, this guy is pretty disfigured. In a compassionate moment that caught the attention of the world, Pope Francis kissed and blessed a severely disfigured man. For Vinicio Riva, the recipient of that kiss, it was a life-changing moment. I mean, that's pretty awesome. Isn't that kind of what you're supposed to do when you're the Pope? We actually have a whole different list related to the Pope, so we're not going to get into that right now. Bat Kid, the world's most adorable superhero. Gotham City became a reality for a very deserving 5-year-old leukemia patient who assumed the role of Bat Kid through a citywide production created by the Make-A-Wish Foundation. Not only did the event make a little boy's wish come true, but it brought the people of San Francisco together in a way that brought both. It was real good. That's what the article says. I like Bat Kid. I like the idea. I mean, why not? I don't know. It doesn't like make a wish. It seems like they all just sort of do this. Go to Disneyland. Okay. Well, that's exciting. You know what I mean? That must be a weird part when you're at Disneyland. You're in that mascot costume, and they're like, okay, it's time to go meet the Make-A-Wish kid. This, you know, bald kid who's got cancer. And you're like, okay, well, I'm 19. I really know nothing about this. So this is going to be very uncomfortable. I'm not in no way trained. You know, oh, here's how you be compassionate to a dying kid. You're like, I don't know, I just kind of did this, you know, my semester at Disney College thing. But sure, that sounds great. Ugh, that's got to be rough. So I don't know, Bat Kid's more fun. If that was happening in my town, I think I'd be excited. You know what I mean? I think I'd be into it. They say, oh, we're going to do, basically town is going to be at a standstill. You know, I don't go to work. I'm like, well, fuck it. You know, is he coming? Is Bat Kid coming to my work? No? All right. Well, then I'm going to just go ahead and probably not come into work if that's okay. You know, Bat Kid. He seems cool. I don't know. Seems like the right thing to do. There's got to be people cheering him on, right? They did do it during the day, which I felt was a little off theme. You know what they did need? for this Bat Kid thing. They needed like two hardcore comic book nerds on the project just to make it perfect. You know, just to really up the ante and be like, we got all the details. I mean, I'm sure a kid probably doesn't know anyway. What does he know? He's not real into like, I really enjoyed the Frank Miller's run on Dark Knight Returns. That was a big one. I didn't really get into Dark Knight Strikes Back so much. I feel like that's when Frank Miller had gone off the deep end. But up till then, he doesn't fucking know. So that was the top 10 most heartwarming moments of 2013. I felt warmed, didn't you? Did you guys feel warmed by that? Let's move on to our next list, which is the top 10 Pope moments of 2013. This is a big year for the Pope, I guess. So let's just see what the Pope's been up to. Let's see. Number 10, Pope Francis traveled to the tiny Mediterranean island of Lampedusa in July to address the plight of migrants who navigate dangerous seas to travel to Europe, condemning a global indifference toward the less fortunate. The pontiff performed a mass and tossed a wreath into the sea in memory of those who've drowned. 3 months later, a boat carrying 450 migrants capsized near the island. At least 114 died. Ugh, that's fucked. I mean, you know what's nice about being Pope? What I feel like this Pope is sort of recognizing that other Popes don't, is he's like, look, I don't need to actually declare like we need to change the law or whatever. He's like, I'm going to do these gestures and let those speak for themselves. Number 9, dial S for sucker. S-U-C-C-O-R. Sucor? Not for sucker. Hey, sucker! And then he hangs up. Michel Ferry, a 14-year-old Italian boy, was devastated by the death of his brother, a gas station operator killed in a robbery. He posted to Facebook that he couldn't forgive God and wrote a letter to the Pope. On August 7th, he received a call. Hi, Michel. It's Pope Francis, said the voice on the phone. The line became something of a catchphrase for the cold call Pope, who has dialed a series of strangers. First of all, I apologize for your parents naming you Michel, which I don't know if you're aware is a lady's name from Full House. South American welcome. The Argentina-born Pope. Oh, he's from Argentina. No wonder I like him. Nicanor. The first pontiff from the Americas received a boisterous welcome when he arrived in Brazil for the 14th World Youth Day in Rio de Janeiro in July. Hundreds of thousands of people came out to wish Francis well, and the humble pontiff reciprocated, stepping out of his car to walk through the city's slums. I was just thinking about this. The Pope Mobile, because I saw him, you know, he's riding in that crazy-ass Pope Mobile. I know the Pope doesn't want to get, like, assassinated, but on the other hand, if you're the Pope and you got shot, I mean, would that be the worst thing? Because wouldn't you, if the Pope ain't going to heaven and the Pope is not 100% certain he's going to heaven, what is the point of the Pope? I mean, if that guy isn't buying it, if that guy is trying to preserve his life in that way, well, what am I supposed to do? I'm like, well, I'm at least like 85% an asshole. I'm way worse than the Pope. Even good people will be like, well, I'm not the Pope. That's like the standard by which we're judged, right? If that guy's not buying it, we're fucked. Why even try? The patient pontiff. God damn. One young Catholic couldn't contain his excitement about seeing the Pope for the first time. Invited to sit near Francis as he spoke at the Pontifical Council for the Family at the Vatican on October 26th, the child climbed onto the stage and hugged the Holy Father mid-sentence. Unfazed, Francis patted the boy on the head and let him sit in his chair while he finished speaking. Here's the bad thing about, I think, being the Pope. Or the president or anything, you know, they're like, all right, what's on the agenda for today? And they're like, well, we got to fly to fucking somewhere to go to the Pontifical Council for the Family at the Vatican. You're like, what the fuck? You know, or you have to go to what was that last thing? They're like, all right, well, we got to fly out to South America. Let's go. And the Pope's like, what? What are you talking about? And it's, oh, it's 14th World Youth Day in Rio de Janeiro in July. Like, it must be going to these goddamn events that you're just like, I've never even heard of this. What does do I have to go to everything? You know, Branson, Missouri has its 50th annual, hey, fuck cancer day. I got to go there. I got to go to this. I mean, if you were going to an event, I'm sure you could go every goddamn day to something. Let's see. Number six is the U.S. and its allies pressured Syria to abandon its chemical weapons, Pope Francis wrote a letter to Russian President Vladimir Putin, a key backer of the Syrian regime, appealing for peace. Addressing Putin, who was hosting a summit of world leaders in St. Petersburg, Francis wrote, to the leaders past, present, to each and every one, I make a heartfelt appeal for them to help find ways. Okay, so he just wrote a letter. Don't make this stuff. See, again, cool. Because then he gets to be kind of the good guy, right? He's just like, hey, could you guys quit fucking around? And they say no, but I guess the Pope's pissed. Number five. Quote, we cannot insist only on issues related to abortion, gay marriage, and the use of contraceptive methods, Pope Francis said. The interview challenged Catholic attitudes on homosexuality and the role of women in the church. You know what I like about that? That's exactly how I feel. We cannot insist only on issues related to abortion, gay marriage, and the use of contraceptive methods. I feel like that's sort of saying, hey, we got like other shit to worry about also. So instead of just, why are you fucking asking me? I mean, if you were the Pope, wouldn't you just say, hey, listen, you've asked every Pope about this. I mean, obviously I'm the Pope, so you know kind of how I feel about it, but I'd like to accomplish something instead of just fucking around with these same issues. Four, Pope Francis, then known as Jorge Mario Bergoglio, awesome, was elected pontiff on March 13th. God, pontiff, what is this shit? Okay, that's one of the moments when he was elected Pope. That doesn't really count. Compassionate embrace. He embraced a disfigured man. Oh, that's the one we talked about. Allegedly, he was kissed in the other article, but this one says he was hugged. Difference between a hug and a kiss. Okay? Hugged a lady last night. We did not make out. If I made out with the Pope, believe me, that'd be the top story. Pete and the Pope make out in the square, the public square. That would be... I would love to hear, you know, Pope makes out passionately with disfigured man. That would be amazing. You see one shot where you just see the tiniest micron of the Pope's tongue entering the man's mouth. That's a fucking Pope story. Pope Francis burnished his reformist reputation when he stated in July that he does not judge gays. If they accept the Lord and have goodwill, who am I to judge? Who am I to judge? They shouldn't be marginalized. There you go. Done. I see, again, I'm not asking for the Pope to say, hey, I want to make everything great for gay people. But if he could just, that's all I need. Just like, you know what? That's fine. They could do it. Who am I to judge? I mean, he's the Pope, to be fair. Let's see. He's the first Pope to choose St. Francis of Assisi as his guy. Okay. Well, good. Well, so here's the lesson we learned about the Pope in 2013. Church, if you want to have a pope, my recommendation is picking a non-former evil Nazi. That seems to be a pretty good way to go in terms of picking a good pope. It seems to be like the key to, you know, getting a pope that people will accept for the most part. It's like, is he an evil Nazi? That is how low our standard is for pope, by the way. We're like, well, did he used to be a Nazi? And it's like, sort of. And it's like, well, as long as it's only sort of, I guess that's okay. All right, let's move on to our next list. We have a list of the top 10 sports moments from 2013. So we'll see how I felt about those. So here's how this is going to work. As many of you probably know, I'm not real big into sports, okay? I don't know a lot about sports. So what I'm going to go ahead and do is just read the headlines, and then I'm going to just assume what the story is, because I don't think it'll be exciting. So let me pull up some sports music, because I think that's going to be my favorite sports music. My favorite pedophilic sports music creator. Did you guys know that Gary Glitter is like a pedophile, by the way? So when you're hearing like... You know, that is a pedophile. So, just a heads up. Oh, here's a song, Do You Want to Touch Me? Oh, yeah. How does this sound? Sporty? Sounds pretty sporty. All right, let's do this. Number one, the Red Sox prove Boston strong. In a landmark baseball game, the Red Sox proved how strong Boston was by playing good at baseball. It was a moment. James, Jim, my fellow sports announcers, let me tell you something. I've never seen such a showing from these Red Sox. The Red Sox bleed red, and that's why the Sox are red, actually. They have a horrible disfigurement, most of them, and that's their history. But nonetheless, their bleeding ankles proved to be strong enough to hold the weight of a Subway Series. Let's see, number two, the Pittsburgh Pirates snapped their streak in style. Yes, the Pittsburgh Pirates, the most hated team in baseball, one might say. Until Johnny Depp came along and made those Pirates movies and everything Pirates was back, including Pittsburgh baseball. I think that's baseball, by the way. This may be only baseball stories. And so then, from then on, they got a good reputation. You know, before, their mascot was actually like a Nigerian man killing someone with a machete in order to take over their boat. And then this Pirates movie came out, and they said, oh, shit, maybe we should go with like a more fun eyeliner type of pirate. They did, and it worked. Number three, Biogenesis scandal casts black cloud over the season. Oof, yeah. Biogenesis. The newest player for the Houston Astros. Okay, he's basically the RoboCop of baseball. They said, by the way, this is what a sick individual I am and why you shouldn't listen to my opinion on American Hustle. When I saw the preview for RoboCop, I had more feelings than watching the entire movie American Hustle. Four. The Dodgers become baseball's new 800-pound gorilla. That is a very mean way to talk about one of our greatest players, Frank Thomas. Number five, Yasiel Puig becomes baseball's new lightning rod. Basically, I don't know if you know this, but a baseball star on the offseason had some extracurricular activities when he starred in an adult film as the character Lightning Rod, who had a giant penis and finished fast. Number six, young pitching dominates National League. Yes, in a move that stunned the National League, we had a small child pitching. There's a whole story behind this. Henry fell and injured his arm. However, after being in a cast for 6 weeks and missing the entire summer of the pool, he found that once the cast was removed, he had the ability to throw 110-mile-an-hour fastball. He used this to join the Chicago Cubs and really kick ass. Seven, Chris Davis and Matt... Oh, there goes our pedophile music. Hang on. How about I'm the leader of the gang? My God. Just look up Gary Glitter album covers if you got time to kill. I highly recommend it. Like that for sports. How about Glitter ain't gold? That's really bad. I didn't know I loved you till I something. There we go. Let's see. Seven. Chris Davis and Max Scherzer chase history with breakout seasons in the American League. Yes, they chased history with a breakout of fucking Ebola. Can you believe it? They gave it to everyone. Half the American League is dead. I don't know if you heard about this. I don't follow baseball, so I didn't know much about it. Eight, Greatest relief pitcher of all time retires after inspiring comeback season. You know, a relief pitcher should do ads for, like, Maalox and stuff, right? Hi, I'm Mariano Rivera. You know, I'm a relief pitcher, but sometimes I need relief, too. Sitting in that fucking dugout waiting to see if I'm going to have to pitch? It's pretty nerve-wracking. And if you think that's bad, wait till you get on the mound in front of 50,000 screaming fans. But you know what? Maalox does the trick. Drink a half a bottle of that shit, mix in a little vodka, just a couple drops of Worcestershire, you're set. 9. Off-season yields major contracts for top free agents. A bunch of guys got a bunch of money, who cares? 10. Significant rule changes could impact how the game is played and by whom in 2014 and beyond. Bad news. Rule changes. We've gone back to the Negro League system, so should be pretty interesting. Should be a pretty weird upcoming baseball season. Well, there we go. We did it. That's sports. That's the top stories in baseball from 2013. Boy, what an amazing year of baseball playing, huh? I think that really worked out. All right, I'm going to go pee because I'm about to pee my pants. But after this, we're going to get to the top 10 opinions of 2013. God, that's really abrasive, isn't it? All right, top 10 opinions of 2013 as listed by Time Magazine. Number 10. No, I do not want to pet your dog. Dogs at gyms, dogs at the office, dogs at the beach. Farhad Manju thinks that the canine incursion is worse than babies and must be stopped. Dog owners are rarely forced to reckon with the idea that there are people who aren't enthralled by their furry friends, and that taking their dogs everywhere might not be completely pleasant for these folks. There you go. Especially this picture, I gotta say. So it shows a guy in a treadmill, and next to him is a dog just sitting on the treadmill, looking at the camera like, "Ri-ro-ro!" I mean, I like dogs, don't get me wrong. But if I went to the gym and your dog's sitting on the treadmill, and I'd like to use that treadmill for its purpose. You know, we had this discussion at my work. Should we let dogs in? Should we say, like, hey, your dogs are welcome here? Here's my thing about dogs, okay? We have nothing for dogs. There is nothing in this building that is for dogs. We have no items or areas or anything that are meant to appeal to a dog. So why should they be in there? You know what I'm saying? What's the point? I don't know. If you want to take your dog to the park, feel free. Here's the thing, though. If you're a dog lover, let me tell you some things you could do to help improve non-dog owners' opinions of you. Number one, you have to pick up the dog shit, always. And this is going to sound crazy to you, maybe. If you see a dog shit while you're walking your dog, even if your dog didn't shit out that shit, if you pick it up, it's going to help. I'm not going to lie. I know that's not, I know we don't like to pick up shit. And I know, it's like if you're a smoker, if you want to improve the chances that I'm going to provide you an ashtray outside my business, pick up other people's cigarette butts as well. Then I'll be more friendly. There you go. Here's the other big one. If you have your dog and you're walking your dog on a leash, that leash needs to be like less than 5 feet, okay? And if you're walking on one side of the sidewalk and your dog's over in the grass on the other side and you've just sort of created this tripwire, I mean, imagine if I was walking around the park and I was swinging a broom handle in a circular helicopter fashion over my head, you know, and I just said, hey, fuck it, you know, that's what I like to do. Other people need to use this area, okay? It cannot be once your dog enters the area, no one else is able. What am I supposed to do? I'm jogging around the park. I have to stop every time I go around and say, like, hey, buddy, I'd like to go around, if that's possible, around your dog and you. That would be great. You have to make it so your dog is not disabling the use of an area by human people, okay? Human people, the priority, dog second. They're second-class citizens. I'm sorry, but they are. That's all, and I know they're important to you. I get that. Believe me. I acknowledge that, and that's cool. But, you know, Target, they don't need to be in there. What business do they have in Target? Let's see. 9. The female dollar. During the off-scenes battle between Janet Yellen and Larry Summers to become the next Fed chief, The Sun argued that support for Yellen was clearly tokenism for women, and that was just bad monetary policy. What good is a gender-backed dollar going to do in an era of fiat money? They asked. Fortunately, being female wasn't the only reason that people thought that Yellen would be good for the job, and she wound up beating out Summers, who infamously said in 2005 speech before the national da-da-da-da that women hadn't achieved as much as men because they were inferior in mathematical ability. Oh, man. Ooh. I would think he had said that on this show if that was a thing. What the fuck? You can't say. Chicks aren't good at math, so that's probably why you shouldn't have a chief. What is she? Chief Fed money fiat or whatever. That's crazy. I mean, I don't know. Who cares? By the way, I don't think the chief bank guy of America or whatever is doing a lot of math himself. Doesn't he just get handed folders of shit? Do you think he's checking? Oh, you didn't carry the one. What the fuck? I mean, if you hired the best math guy, we'd have like a complete crazy. I knew one guy. There was this guy who grew up in town. And he was like a famous, you know, he solved some old geometry theorem from like 100 years ago that had been unsolved when he was in like 8th grade. And he's, you know, a math genius. He was weird. Okay? So if we want to start electing weirdos, which I am 100% behind, then let's talk about their mathematical ability. 8. Snowden made the right call when he fled the U.S., 2 days after The Guardian began publishing details of the... Okay, I don't care about this. I gotta be honest. This is a crazy thing. 7. What's Wrong with the Modern World by Jonathan Franzen. Couched in an essay about turn-of-the-century Austrian writer Karl Kraus... Okay. So he has... Franzen was inspired to write a diatribe against the internet age after seeing Salman Rushdie, someone he thinks should know better, succumb to Twitter. One of the worst things about the internet is that it tempts everyone to be a sophisticate, to take positions on what is hip and to consider, under pain of being considered unhip, the positions that everyone else is taking. Technology isn't just a distraction. It has turned humanity into a machine that spews trivial data and obeys nothing but its own developmental logic. As a result, we can't face real problems. What we can all agree to do instead is deliver ourselves to the cool news media and technologies, to Steve Jobs and Mark Zuckerberg and Jeff Bezos, and let them profit at our expense. The piece, of course, went viral through the same media Franzen eviscerated. Yeah, it is weird. I mean, in a way, sometimes I'll look up an author I really like or someone I think is really respectable on Twitter, and then you see they're on there, you're almost disappointed, right? I mean, a Salman Rushdie, isn't it almost disappointing? Because you're like, I mean, part of me says, I don't know, I'd like to know. I mean, this is a conflicting issue for me. Because on the one hand, maybe that's the answer, though. Maybe it's empty because other people think they're too good for it, Jonathan Franzen. You know, maybe if you thinking you're too good to be on Twitter, well, then who is good on there? Then if we want to use Twitter, you know, we're following Paris Hilton. On the other hand, I sometimes am disappointed as well. I look someone up and I'm like, oh my God, this guy's on Twitter. Shouldn't he be writing amazing books right now instead? So I don't know. But it's an old man opinion, right? Twitter, bad. And, what are you going to do? Plus, I'm doing a fucking podcast right now where I'm telling stories about a guy I knew from high school who was good at math. So I'm not really in a position to criticize that sort of thing. Let's see. Christie's Tea Party Problem. What is this? In a column attempting to explain why the moderate Republican Chris Christie would never be able to win, some guy shocked readers with this statement. People with conventional views must repress a gag reflex when considering the mayor-elect of New York, a white man married to a black woman and with two biracial children. This family represents the cultural changes that have enveloped parts, but not all, of America. The cultural... What the fuck? I don't even care about this. Is Chris Christie, is he that fat maniac? There's two fat maniac politicians right now. There's that guy who's talking a lot about doing cocaine, and I think he like shoved an old woman or something like that. And then there's, I think Chris Christie is also a fat maniac, but I'm not entirely sure about him. The one guy, wherever he's from, he's a mayor or something, or governor maybe, he is definitely a fat maniac. Chris Christie, I'm not sure, but I think is also, this is how into politics I am. Let's see, number five. The Affordable Care Act is a socialist Ponzi scheme by Suzanne Somers. Now, for those of you who don't know, Suzanne Somers was the mom on Step by Step who has made sort of a living of, it seems like every 4 months she publishes another book on a health topic about like, here's how you can stay hot when you're 50. I don't know if there are large sections in the books about like, so, what has happened to my face, huh? Because she is just plastic surgerizing her face forever. I don't know if she's doing the same thing to her body. Maybe she feels that like having an old woman face on her body is a crime. I don't know. And you know what? We'll never know because I've never gotten to actually see what that might look like. The Wall Street Journal inexplicably gave former Three's Company actress a platform in their experts section to attack Obamacare, her main insight into which was the fact that her Canadian husband had friends who were doctors who had moved to the United States to practice because they could make more money outside the clutches of the Canadian healthcare system. So her thing is that Obamacare is a bad idea because Canadian doctors used to come here because they could make more money in America. That's your criticism. That is not a great criticism of a healthcare system. To me, that's like, oh, so we're like more corrupt then. So that's going to stop, and that's bad for your Canadian. I mean, by the way, my Canadian doctor husband sounds like, I'm in middle school and I have a girlfriend. She goes to school in Canada. What's her name? Lizzie McGuire. Four, advice to the young women at Princeton, The Young Daughters I Never Had by Susan Patton. Forget about having it all or not having it all, leaning in or leaning out. Here's what you really need to know that no one is telling you. Find a husband on campus before you graduate, wrote this woman. Wrote Susan Patton, Princeton class of 1977 in the University Daily newspaper. While Ivy League men are perfectly happy to marry down, Patton warned that Princeton women will be frustrated if they wind up with someone intellectually inferior. Simply put, there is a very limited population of men who are as smart or smarter than we are. And I say again, you will never again be surrounded by this concentration of men who are worthy of you. The mother of two Princeton boys herself, it turned out that Patton was engaged in a bit of projection. I am divorced, she later elaborated in the Huffington Post. I did not marry a Princeton man. I wish I had. Expect a book version of her advice to young women sometime next year. Okay. I mean, I have to even point out how crazy that is? Here's my number one advice to you as a student. Use this time when you should be studying and improving your mind. Make sure to land a man. Even as like someone who, you know, is sort of battling with what it means to be feminist, I find that to be a bit crazy. You know, this is your prime time to land a man who's not an idiot. Also, just like, oh, so if a man does not go to Princeton, he's an idiot. I mean, I'm going to make a big reveal right now and say I didn't go to Princeton, you guys. Although I don't know that the smartest men I know would make the best husbands either. That's a pretty crazy... I mean, yes. I don't think you're going to be happy if you're dating someone who's a lot dumber than you. A long time ago, I dated this woman. I'm not going to say she was dumber than I was. But I think she just didn't really... I have kind of this problem where I think I'm always thinking. You know, it's hard to shut it off at night and just sort of relax. A lot of, you know, stuff's running around in there. And she really struck me not as, again, not dumb. I think she performed well in school and all that, never really had trouble with it. But when she's not thinking, she's not thinking. You know what I'm saying? That was a struggle. Because if you were, this is the kind of person, if you're in a long car trip, would be zoned out the entire time. Whereas I'm sitting there driving and it's like, can I just talk to you and you could just become a receptacle? I think in the way I'm the most abusive in a relationship in that sometimes the person that I'm dating becomes basically a receptacle for me talking for a long time. Maybe this podcast will improve that. You know what I mean? Maybe it'll be like, I got it all out. So there you go. And maybe I could listen to it myself and therefore punish my own self and be like, oh, this is what it's like to be on a car trip with you. This is horrible. God damn. 3, a plea for caution from Russia. I don't care about that. 2, Russians deserve better than Putin by John McCain. Don't care about that. 1, my medical choice. Russia, it's like everything's crazy in Russia, isn't it? They got this crazy guy in charge, and they're like, maybe we should make crazy weapons that have only been seen before in the motion picture, The Rock. I don't get it. 1, and I'm not a political man. My Medical Choice by Angelina Jolie. I'm not sure which is more amazing, the fact that Angelina Jolie, the most watched actress on the planet, had extensive surgery over the period of 3 months without anyone knowing it, or the fact that she decided to write about her elective double mastectomy in the op-ed pages of New York Times. Jolie, we all know, carried a very high genetic risk for getting breast cancer. The disease that had killed her mother, Marceline Bertrand, at age 56. While her experience and lack of a need for insurance to reimburse her probably bore little resemblance to that of an ordinary breast cancer survivor, you will be happy to know that Brad Pitt accompanied her for every minute of the surgeries. Thank God. My own regimen will be posted in due course on the website of the Pink Lotus Breast Cancer. I hope that's what it said. The Pink Lotus Breast Center. Pink Lotus Breast Center sounds like a place that I would go if I visited like Taiwan. They're like, you want to go to the Pink Lotus Breast Center? And I'd say, I think I do. Yeah, I forgot that was in 2013. I don't know. Who cares? Why? What difference does it make to me? Oh my God, Angelina Jolie has fake cans? Unbelievable. Why would she do that? I don't know. She's afraid she's going to get cancer. Seems reasonable. It doesn't seem that crazy to me, right? Who cares? She's got the cash. I mean, what's the difference really between that and getting, you know, Suzanne Somers is getting crazy face surgeries for just to not look old? Do whatever you want. I don't know. Ladies, they're your cans. Do whatever the hell you want with them. What difference does it make how I feel about it? You know, I'm not really interested in the story, to be honest, because I don't really understand why it's a story or why anyone cares. It's just, I don't know, fuck it. I don't care. Let's do this. We have a top 10 plays and musicals, as listed by Time Magazine. Here's what I thought I would do for this. Rather than describe them, we've got the plays here, 10 of them. I thought I would just make up a song for each one with some Broadway band backing me. So here we go. 10. A Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder. Sounds pretty goddamn Broadway to me. Let's see what we got here. I'm a gentleman, but not a gentleman. I like to stab a girl with my right hand, and then I kiss her, hold her face with the left. I got one hand on murder, but on the other hand, I love her. That's a gentleman's guide to love and murder. All right, number 9, Macbeth. How is that another? Oh, it's on Broadway, huh, Macbeth? All right, well, let's see what we've got for the Macbeth song. Ooh, jazzy. It's clarinet in there. My name is... I can't. This is a hard beat for me. Macbeth. Ooh, there we go. I can't do this beat for some reason. That just won't work for me. It sounds like Lean on Me. Macbeth. I'm gonna ruin eighth grade by killing my father. I hope you hate it. It's gonna be long. You'll probably watch the movie. The ghost part is pretty good. I'm Macbeth. And no, there is no character in this song called Shakespeare. Or in this play. So don't list that as an answer. Okay? Enjoy. That was kind of more of a spoken word version, huh? Saint Joan. Let's see what we got, if we got a good song here. This is like a Joan Jett musical. Saint Joan, Saint, 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 Saint Joan. I like to party all day on the weekend. Brunch, 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 brunch. Hitting up the jukebox, making out the weekend. Cruising in a leather jacket in a car with top down. I'm pretty awesome, girls like me, boys like me too. A Joan Jett, a Saint Joan, a Joan Jett, a petting kittens, a rocking houses. I'm a woman of contrast. There you go, Saint Joan, the musical. Well, man, we're only at 8 here. Natasha, Pierre, and the Great Comet of 1812. Are you just fucking with me now? Is that, that is a real thing, huh? This doesn't seem like the kind of music they'd have for that. Here comes a comet. Oh fuck, it's 1812. We don't know what to do because we don't have science. Where's Bruce Willis? How's he gonna fix this one? He doesn't have spaceships. He doesn't have drills. Ben Affleck ain't even fucking born yet. We're real screwed. It's 1812. We got a comet. We have Pierre. But that's all we've got to solve the situation. Let's see what's next. Domesticated. Ah, I got the perfect song for that. I don't know. I mean, by the way, this one goes out to Aaron and Megan because they're the only people I know who attend musicals who watch this show. Here we go. Life's like this. chill out and do the dishes now. Oh, I started too early. Hold on, guys. This is from one of my favorite artists, by the way. Chill out, do the dishes now. Wake up, the floor needs sweeping now. And time to take the kids out to the school. Be a fool. Peanut butter crusts all cut off. Make a tree, deck Christmas balls. Make a hall, deck that shit too. Cause you live in a town with somebody else, but just that one guy who you love since junior high. You love being here, you love making pies for me. Why'd you go and make things domesticated? You got yellow dish gloves acting like you're somebody else. No, you never do that. And life's like this, you. And you cook and you wash and you clean and you make a nice home with stuff from Pinterest. There you go. That's domesticated. Let's see. The Flick. The Flick, eh? Ooh, this is Broadway to me. Take a booger off of your nose, on your finger, flick it at those people of another race. See, this is like a complicated race-based thing. So the Flick is about a flicking a booger at a guy, and it touches off a racial incursion. See the black guy over there, flick a booger in his hair. See the dago washing her weeds, put a booger on her tweed. I'm a flicker, yes I am. The flicker around the world, that's me, Sam. What is this shit? Okay. Belleville. Huh? Okay. We've got a musical called Belleville. Let's see what we get here. Karaoke. Oh no. Cruising down to Belleville, cruising up the quarter mile.
Keep talking.
Making up to Belleville, isn't that a sane asylum?
We'll get the money, you know, we'll get the money.
I'm crazy about you, girl. They're gonna lock me up from the world if I can't get my shit together. Hey, it's Belleville. Oh fuck. Three more. The Model Apartment. Ooh, that sounds like a good one. I could live with that. Welcome to New York. We're all models. We live together. We're all models. Go on photo shoots, making up clothes, making people look good. We've all got brand new nose. Model apartment. Model apartment. There you go. The story of a bunch of models who move into an apartment. Ooh, here lies love. That sounds pretty good. Oh shit, I ran out of sounds. Ran out of karaoke Broadway songs. Hold on. We're back to this song. And then last month. Let's just go down the list here. What does this look like? Ooh, this is groovy, man. Love my girlfriend, but so now, hitting the streets with my half on. Got my shoes, my pants, and my other pants. Gonna get them laid. Here lies love. Here lies love. in a grave. Shallow as love.
Okay.
This is the stupidest show we've ever done, I would like to say. Last song, Matilda. Is that like the book where she makes crazy shit fly around? Let's see. We need one more Broadway. Sounds like Free Fall in here. My name is Matilda. Ooh.
Do they do that in Broadway?
Ooh. Then the whole band comes in and they have like a big, you know, Matilda. Ooh.
Okay, well, I think that pretty much covers the top 10 musicals for the year, wouldn't you say? Let's get on to our last list, the top weird and bizarre news stories.
Like a lot of shows did a, you know, they would do a, like a fucking musical, like Drew Carey would do a musical or Buffy. Maybe Helpful Snowman should have a musical episode. You know, we just have to get entirely other people who could sing. That would be the big thing. So let's look at the top 10 weird and bizarre news stories of 2013. Number 10, man deported for being too handsome. Male model Omar Borkan Al-Ghala became famous around the world when he was deported from Saudi Arabia for being too handsome. The dreamy Dubai photographer was reportedly told to leave the oil-rich country by delegates who feared he might corrupt impressionable women. That would be the most badass thing ever. I mean, on the one hand, you know, you're like, well, that seems pretty unfair. But on the other hand, how fucking cool would it be? I would be satisfied to get kicked out of a bar for being too handsome. And like, don't come back. Okay? It doesn't work because what happens is you're so handsome that women come in and they're all attracted to you. And then no other men, you know, it causes fights. It's just bad. If you had to be kicked out of a country, that's pretty great. That is pretty, you know, it's like, what, how handsome am I? Well, I was, the government felt like it was an issue they needed to address. I was that handsome. Oh, we all know how that is. Number 9, drunk pig. I mean, actually, they're kind of doing the guy a favor. I would like to bribe Colorado, like bribe the governor. And he's like, I'd like to make an announcement. This young man is too handsome to live here. And we've decided to kick him out. Wouldn't it be fun to have like a state, your state has the handsomest man of the every year and they kick him out of the state for the next year. He's not allowed to be in the state for the entire year. I mean, that'd be pretty great. Number 9, drunk pig. The headline says it all. Feral pig drinks 18 cans of beer, fights cow, and then passes out drunk under tree. Tragically, the pig named Swino was killed in a car accident less than a month after his infamous drunken escapades. Oh, I like that. 18 cans of beer. That's a pretty good amount. Fights a cow. How does a pig and a cow fight? He just kind of bites the cow? Fuck off? You know, I don't know. Hey, this cow's too handsome. Bras are useless. In number 8, by the way, in April, a French scientist rocked the underwear industry by declaring bras are useless. Diligent Jean-Denis Rion spent 16 years studying hundreds of women's breasts, but says further research could be needed. Let's see the original headline. Scientist who spent 16 years studying boobs of 300 women declares bras are useless. I'm getting a picture of a lady's cans. He revealed his surprise. He argues that wearing a bra weakens the natural muscles that hold up breasts and suggested that women may feel more liberated going braless. His findings have been the cause of heated debate across the other side of the English Channel in a country known for its love of lingerie.
You breathe better. You stand up straighter. You have less back pain, one 28-year-old participant told the national news station this week. Dr. Rouillon claims there is little benefit to wearing a bra from an early age and said going without could improve firmness. The suspension system of the breasts degenerates, he says. Despite his research spanning more than 16 years, the sports doctor claims his tests are only preliminary and that further investigation could be needed. However, he did admit a bra could be beneficial to the older lady. A middle-aged woman, overweight, with 2.4 children? I'm not at all sure she'd benefit from abandoning bras, he said. This guy is... How do you even set up a study like that? First of all, he's like, well, I've studied 300 sets of cans, but, you know, it never hurts to be more conclusive. So another 300 set of breasts, please, to the lab. I like, too, he's like, I don't know, some old bag with a couple sags. Fine. I don't, what do I care? What do I care what those boobs look like, huh? So thank God someone's doing the hard work. Can we not call him a scientist? I mean, if you... Here's the extent of the science there. I looked at 300 topless women and rated them on a scale of 1 to 10 on how firm things looked upstairs, then asked how often they wore a bra, and then made a graph out of that. Wow. I've done the research for that. I just haven't, you know, I didn't know there was a spreadsheet where I could be keeping track of that. Number 7, Sneezy. Fun-loving squirrel Sneezy is absolutely nuts about trying on hats, and his love for dressing up turned him into an internet star. The rodent struck up a bond with student Mary Kruppa after the pair shared a bag of nuts. Okay. Secret dungeon. A curious tenant was a little freaked out when she discovered a secret dungeon in his studio apartment just a day after moving in. Read the full story here. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty horrifying. Looks like a little brick alleyway going into nowhere. Although if you rent a studio apartment, I mean, one man's secret dungeon is the other man's, my God, I just doubled the size of my fucking apartment. I do have to share it with the ghost of Candyman and Bloody Mary, but it's still pretty good. Number 5, McDonald's high chair. It started with a quiet drink and ended with police being called to free a grown man from a baby's high chair in McDonald's in Ireland. We recommend that children don't use the high chair without adult supervision, joked a spokeswoman for the fast food giant. There's this guy just sitting in the high chair looking pensive, like, well, fuck. And everyone's just kind of standing around looking at him. I mean, isn't it just a matter? Why couldn't you just, like, fall over? I bet you'll just pop out of there. How hard could it be? How is that a story? Drunk guy in Ireland does something dumb. Unbelievable. 4, Hamster comes back from the dead. A family in Gloucester. I don't know how to say any of these places that are not in America. It looks like Gloucester, okay? And it's probably Glisser. We're left stunned when a hamster came back from the grave after being buried in the garden on Good Friday. Well, here's a hint. Probably wasn't fucking dead. I don't know how much time you spent taking the hamster's vitals, but maybe he was not dead. 3, Brighton Vortex. A concerned resident in Brighton sparked concern when he apparently discovered a vortex to another dimension, complete with giant snake on a residential street. It was not clear if he had taken any mind-bending drugs. All right, discover a vortex. I mean, that would be pretty big, right? We all have life-changing events, like, I quit drinking and da-da-da-da, I met my wife. But if you discovered a vortex and a giant snake came out of it, that would probably trump everything. You'd be doing your wedding vows a couple years later once you'd recovered mentally enough to marry. And you'd be, you know, kind of like, well, this is easily the second most amazing day of my life, you know, and there's like one guy at the wedding who's just your wife's friend from work who's like, what's the most amazing day? And then do not ask him because he's going to tell you about this fucking vortex. He's obsessed with the vortex. Okay? You don't want to know. Number 2, Mystery Monopoly. A home renovator got a pleasant surprise when he uncovered a giant Monopoly board underneath his old carpet. So this guy's got like a wood floor. What is wrong with America that at some point we all said, no, we want to have carpeted shit carpet floors instead of these beautiful wood floors? What happened?
Anyway, the entire room, basically the perimeter of it, is a giant Monopoly board, which is pretty great. That would be fun. That's a worthwhile way to play Monopoly. Although one of the cards appears to have the silhouette of like a stripper on it, which I don't remember from Monopoly. It's like between Park Place and Boardwalk is the strip zone. And number one, hairy stockings. Hairy stockings designed to deflect unwanted male attention became an unexpected hit in China over the summer. The weird story sparked a serious media debate about the merits of wearing the unusual clothing item in public. So basically, these are flesh-toned stockings that have like a male amount of hair on them. I like that that's like, how come I as a man can't be a little offended though and say, that looks like my real legs, okay? So I find that offensive that you're using that to deter people from having sex with you. This is all I got. Hairy stocking legs are the only stocking, are the only legs that I have available to me. So how's that? What am I supposed to do? God damn it. I'm on my own. I am all alone. Whew. Well, guys, that's a lot of top stuff. Thanks for spending New Year's Eve with me, if that's what you chose to do. I'm sorry. I don't know what your situation is, but I'm very sorry for you. And I wish things were different for both of us. But here we are, huh? And we made it through another New Year's Eve. We made it through another fucking year. So here's to a better 2014 for everybody. I feel like the universal consensus is 2013 was kind of horrible. So let's do 2014. Let's do it better. Huh? However you gotta do that. You figure out what you gotta do. Make that resolution. That New Year's Eve high-res resolution. Okay? And we'll see you next year. I know it's hard to hear you say it, but I can't bear to stay. And I just know, I know that you're gonna be okay anyway. Always keep your heart locked tight. Don't let your mind read that. Tried out and not to beg it, but I fumbled. And when it came down through the wire, it felt bad. It felt right. But I fumbled. And when it came down through the wire, it felt bad. It felt right. But I fumbled. And when it came down through the wire, it's your imagination trying to make you what you want it to be. Because I'm sorry I do what I did, but naturally, and I give it